Yes.
They would argue and argue and argue, and as soon as the judge said, you know, court adjourned, they walk into the hallway. Let's go get a drink.
Right.
Because they knew that their job was to be confrontational.
Right.
And no one knows what that is anymore.
And they knew what the other person's argument was, and check it out. And they knew that the one that did not come up with the more forceful argument to win over the jury lost the case. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that thing works, man. It's
logic.
But
that dialectic thing is makes everybody just, you know, water it down so we can, as it says, come to some agreement about something.
Man, my mind just, look, there are winners and there are losers, okay? You're going to either win something or lose something. Now, the thing is, we have Christ in us to garner a kind of a buckler or a shield against us losing and going off. If we lose something, it doesn't bother us. Just like I said the other day while I was preaching, if we lose our homes, if we lose our jobs, it doesn't crush us.
Right.
It doesn't destroy us.
No. There's only one thing that cannot be taken away from us.
Absolutely.
And that is Christ in our heart.
Yes.
When we have Christ in us, that can't be removed. Can't be removed if they remove my head from my body.
Right.
It can't be removed if they remove my house,
yes.
Burn it down, destroy yes. my family, do right. all of that stuff. Doesn't matter. And that's where the Lord is really trying to get us to that point. He's trying to get us to that point through these difficult times. This is actually a wonderful time for Christians. For the Absolutely. Christians who have become complacent.
Yeah.
For the Christians who have become arrogant, thinking, well, we have all of this wonderful stuff, and we get heaven also. It's like, no, God will strip you of your stuff
yes.
just to get you to be satisfied with heaven only.
With him only, man.
Yeah.
Man, and, you know, I find myself laughing, Bob, when you say that because it makes me happy to hear you say that. I don't hear enough Christians saying that.
No.
They're fooling around here saying, well, my IRA will carry me through the depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got enough saved up and I got this property. Man, you're supposed to be, Paul said, I suffer the loss of how many things? All things.
All things.
That I might gain Christ.
This is March. April Fool is coming. We don't know what's going to happen next
No, month. We don't. We
money.
Don't know.
You don't know and, what's going to happen.
And we don't know. We're indebted to so many countries. You know, China or whatever.
Yeah.
What's to stop them from coming here and saying, okay, time to pay up.
Yeah.
Give me that building. You owe me this. You owe me that. Time to pay. We're tired of you being in debt
and
to us.
Shut down all the buildings and send all the Americans home and fill it up with Chinese. What you going to do? Huh? What you going to do?
It's a possibility. No,
hey, come on, man.
It is a possibility.
You know, hey, man, listen. Oh, Bob, I think we're scaring the people.
Well, but the Roman Empire, they thought they were invincible. Where are they now?
Well, ruins.
Yeah.
Ruins, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ruins. I was doing a webcast, and one of the things that I pointed out that in the year 1919, one of the things that Dave Wilkerson said in his argument, and it was a very good argument, he says, immorality started in this country when they started putting tops on cars. I had to think about what I read. I said, what is he talking about? And then he said, because before the Roaring Twenties, they didn't make cars with tops on it. You know, all the cars are like buggies
mm-hmm.
with
right.
no tops on it. But when they started putting tops on cars, people stopped having sex in the house and started having it in the cars.
Hmm.
It was during the Roaring Twenties, he said, after Prohibition, when liquor started to flow and the Roaring Twenties came in, and the dresses, the hems of the dresses went up.
Wow.
Women started smoking cigarettes.
The flappers and everything.
And then he also pointed out in his book, Bob, that it was the end of the 1919s and the early 20s when radio had its first effect on America.
Mm-hmm.
Radio was invented, and then everybody saw what they could get and what they could say, and the country fell into moral depravity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave Wilkerson said this could possibly be the reason that God sent the first depression to get America to repent.
Hmm.
So when I was reading that on my webcast, and when I think about,
and plus you had silent movies in the 20s with Rudy Valentino and and stuff like that, which were very suggestive.
Very suggestive, and they never, because the women were wearing their clothes all tied up to the top and all the way down to the bottom, to the ankles. And so as we progress in our culture, look at where we are now.
Hmm.
Man, I am telling you, I was on BET's website looking at something, some pictures. Oh my goodness. I remember when the football player from SC, what's his name, went to New Orleans?
Yeah, Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. No, I can't go on it now.
He's hanging out with the Kardashian girl now.
Yes, he is. And they have a group of pictures of her and him. She's out there with her bosom out and his butt halfway showing and all this stuff. Nothing but sexual exploitation.
Hmm.
This is sexual exploitation like I have never seen. I said, I cannot believe that they're doing this. And now Kanye West is going with a white girl. Now, you know, see, now this is starting racial tensions too. Don't nobody want to go with the black girls no more. They're all going with the white girls, and everybody's booty is hanging out and the breasts is flopping all over the place. Man, if God don't bring judgment on this country, man, and our young people are mad. Wait a minute, I got to say it again. I'm walking across the campus. And a male student was on the campus bragging to his other five other male students with women and everything walking by, talking about how he masturbated the night before and how he had seminal juice all on his chest and how powerful he was. I was shocked. I was going to turn around and see something, but then I thought about my car and I said, no, shut up, man, because they know you teaching and they will bust your... Man, we are living in a morally... Wait a minute. I'm walking bro man, Bob, down the street. And I see down the street two used condoms right outside of like the car distance of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Two condoms used in the street.
Yeah. I've
seen because
yeah.
my dog was going to sniff. I said, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah. I'd never seen it.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
never seen them, and these folk are immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we have lost our minds.
They'll do it anywhere now.
And, man, I know that these kids that I'm teaching in college are just having sex with each other, and nobody, one of the students told me, I don't believe in that God and Bible stuff. What's that? They said, I wasn't brought up with that. It's just a club you in, Mr. Coleman. You're in that club, and we're in another one. I felt like saying, you're going to find out what club you were
right.
in.
Right. Well, again, and that's the same point
oh,
that
man.
What's true for you is okay for you, and what's true for me is okay for me, and it's all equal. They're just a bunch of clubs, and you're just in a different club.
All relative.
They're all of equal validity.
I hate to think.
And that's what Christ came to say is that no. There is one way, and there's everything else. And everything else is headed the wrong way.
Man, Bob, it's going to be a lot of people screaming, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there will be.
Mm-hmm.
Each day, I realize how small a group there is
yes.
of people that believe. I'm not going to say Christian.
The
ones that believe.
Yes.
Each yeah. day gets smaller and smaller mm-hmm. based yeah. on... You see news reports and you see, you know, what parents do for their kids and how they don't take care of them. They're driving while breastfeeding and on the phone. I mean, crazy stuff. You just see the mentality of people is crazy and immoral.
I don't mean to, because I don't think I'm a good looking guy. I really think that I look like a nerd. Seriously, guys. But I'm driving and you know, I'm going to work more days of the week. And when I'm in my car, I don't know how it is with you guys. But when women are driving in the opposite direction, I have on my shades, so they don't see me looking back at them. I'm acting like I'm looking straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But these whorish women, eyes locked in on
oh, yeah.
me.
Oh,
what
yeah.
man, what is this?
Yeah.
There used to be a
yeah.
day when a woman would never
it's
do
the
that.
Highway hookup. uh-huh. Everybody's looking around, looking for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just staring,
yeah,
waiting on me to say, hey, baby, pull over.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at me like that, and I'm saying, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sign of the times. That's the current day person.
I didn't notice it until I had to start going back to work. Like Mark told me, wait until you get on the street, and you have to get in this traffic and everything. So I'm
yeah.
in the traffic.
Well, even at least 15 years ago, the kids in junior high and high school, the girls just start unceasingly calling the boys. I mean, now it's they're texting them or calling them on their cell phone or whatever, but the girls aggressively going after the young boys, which was absolutely unheard of in our day. I mean, in our day, the boy asks you out. That's it.
And
it's completely reversed, and the girls are aggressive just like young boys used to be.
I was giving a lecture on moral relativism in one of my college classes, and I said, it is one of the most embarrassing things for a pastor to come into a church and preach and see a woman sitting in the first row with her hem up high and her gaping her legs. And I said to the students, I said, I would tell the deacons, like Taman said on his song, to remove the whores from the first row. And one woman in the class was, you what? I said, you heard what I said. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching the word of God, and a whorish hussy is sitting up in there trying to flash herself at me. Entice me. I would tell the officers to get, you know, to throw that whore out of here. She has no place in here. And the students were outraged that I would say that.
Once again, we go back to our point. You were confrontational. You made a point, and you went to change something and fix it. And the current mentality is, oh, just let it slide. Don't do anything. That's just the way she does it. You could get past that. You could work through that.
I have the right to... That just like if I were a professor if I were a professor in the classroom and a student did that to me, I'd say, excuse me, get up and leave this classroom right now. And you know why. And then if she reported me to the dean, I'd tell him, I said, she flashed herself. I didn't tell the class. That's why she got up and walked out. You don't do that to me. That's disrespecting my position and my person.
Correct.
And I don't have to put up with that crap. And this is what I'm trying to tell the people that's listening to me. You don't have to put up with this crap that these people put out on you. And the minute that a society begins to put up with it and they all sit there like they stupid, guess what the powers that be that did it? They said, see, look, they're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
We can do anything we want to do, man.
Yeah.
Right. These are bumbling idiots, man. We can just put it over on them, and they're just going to sit there and take it because I'm the president.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Well, we got to end this up. Yep. We got about a few minutes left here. All right. Let's think. Now, we're going to show you guys how it's done. Okay. How do we avoid this disposition of... And I'm so glad that you guys got into this discussion with me. How do we get the people to debate back again? I'll start off, and then you guys can finish up. We got about 7 minutes. This is the way you get back into the debating process. First of all, know thesis. Know who you are. Know what your tradition is. If you don't have any values, get a book on Christian values. Listen to webcasts like this, but think about where you are, who you are, why you are. Read God's word. Figure out what it is that God wants of you. Not what God wants of Pastor John, because he already got me doing it. He got Bob doing his. He got Mark doing his. You people got to think about what God wants of you, and then you got to spend time with God, and then the first opportunity you get to debate, debate. Don't back off. Make sure you know what you're talking about. What would you say, Mark Ramsey? We're going to let Bob finish up because he's usually the long-winded guy. And so he can. Mark, what do you tell him?
I remember a part of Scripture that talks about how the farmer is plowing his acres.
His field.
And how you're not supposed to look back to either side because then your plow will go crooked.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And so as I follow Christ and I plow what land he's given me, I have to keep straight ahead focus on him, hold on to my plow, and don't look to either side. Don't get too nervous. Don't get too afraid. Don't veer away from looking straight ahead and remember the lessons that I've been listening to. And remember how Christ talked with people.
Yeah.
And that teaches me how to be confrontational, how to confront, how to shut up and listen, how to think through what somebody is saying to me so that I can give them the Peter answer, to give them what is needed at that time.
Yes.
And just do that day by day, and, you know, not to get too caught up in having so much head knowledge when it comes to the Bible, but just, as it says, love a person, listen to them, and try to give them a basic answer.
Good.
That's excellent, Mark. Two words, man up.
Ooh. Yeah, man.
Just man up. And I'm not just talking to the men. I mean women also. What I mean by that term is get a spine. Get a backbone. Get a little bit of a hard shell. Yeah. To the point of not being concerned about what other people think of you.
Yeah.
See, we need to be concerned about what the Lord thinks of us.
Or knows of us, yeah.
And he wants us to put the cares of the world away from us. That chokes out his word, by the way, is what the Bible says. Yeah. Is that the cares of the world choke out the word. So we don't, it also says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm.
Yeah.
Our strength does not come from other men. And if we fear other men, we're not supposed to fear man. We're supposed to, who can kill our body, but fear the Lord, who can destroy both body and soul in hell.
Yes.
Again, the word says.
Yes.
So we are to be so firm in our faith that we won't compromise it. And if it's going to hurt relationship, so be it. It's not to be going out there bashing everybody. I mean, we have the truth on our side. And also, with our love, not compromising that truth, but letting our love show that, okay, I was once you. I was once where you're at. I was once as depraved as possible, as lost as possible, headed for hell and enjoying the ride. Now, the Lord has come into my life, and I have seen the light, and he's shown me what's really real. And I want to help you to come to that position as well, out of my love for you, because I don't want to see your body and soul destroyed in hell. So, we have to have that love, but love does not mean compromise, because right. You actually hate the person if you, out of supposedly loving them, are willing to compromise the truth and agree that Christ really isn't all that important, that your human relationship's more important than that. You're now destroying your own salvation, you're destroying that person's salvation, and that's not love.
You know, I was going to ask you, but you answered it, Bob. I was going to ask you, how do you man up? And you answered it. You said it. You know, and that's what you do. You say, you need Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're going to hate you. They're going to say, I don't believe that. It's like beautiful, because my students in the college know that I'm a Christian pastor. And I tell each class, I'll never compromise myself, not even for you.
Right.
And then I would say, I know what the end brings you to. You may not believe it,
mm-hmm.
but I know it.
Right.
And so then, and it was a beautiful experience this week, because I'm starting a new practice, Bob. I don't know whether you guys do it on your job, but the new practice that I started this week is when I get into each classroom and I'm there and the doors are locked while I'm setting up, I pray.
Mm-hmm.
I literally almost get on my knees mm-hmm. and ask God to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I just say, help me with these babies, Lord, because mm-hmm. they don't know anything. And this week I just begin to weep for them and to do that. And then when I dried my eyes and opened up the door and unlocked it, the lecture was pristine.
Mm.
And Christ was in the middle of each lecture.
Right.
See, that's our manning up.
Right.
The manning up isn't just fighting with somebody and winning the battle. We man up as we stay on our face before God
mm-hmm.
and ask for wisdom. And he loves us so much that he will enable us and empower us to do that. And then we'll know that we will never compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we win favor with the world. Boy, that's great. Our time is about up. What a wonderful time today. Why don't I hear my music?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Well, I want to thank you guys. It's been a great hour, and I want to just share with you that come to the website. I'm going to try to leave Yuri's clip up and the other clip of the other guy who's playing, I think, John Adams or something. One of the forefathers talking about how Americans ought to be. Because in that first clip that I have up there, he's manning up. He's telling American citizens what they have to do.
Right.
And if you do that, you're not going to be loved and liked by many. Thank you guys for showing up. It's been a good discussion tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. And we always admonish you to do something, because if you don't do this last thing, then listening to us means absolutely nothing. Whatever you do, we want you to stay
into the Word.
God bless you. Good night now.